again, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way.
Oh, you had better wake them up. Get them up, get them going on a Friday on B&E. That is right, you've made it to the end of a long work week. Lot to do. 4 hours of fun and conversation starts right now on this, the 15th of January, halfway through the first month of 2021. And boy, are we busy. We've got divisional playoff weekend on tap in the National Football League. Four big games, eight teams this weekend. Hall of Fame quarterbacks, young gun quarterbacks. A lot of intriguing matchups in the National Football League. We'll preview big news from the NFL with the Jacksonville Jaguars landing Urban Meyer. We'll get the very latest on that and discuss. Also, the New York Jets have filled their coaching vacancy as well. Get you details. And speaking of coaches, Steve Sarkisian, the new head coach at Texas, busy building and assembling his first coaching staff at Texas. And a lot of Crimson Tide flavor, it appears. We'll get you the very latest on that as well. And the goings-on over at the 40 Acres have hoops and some baseball as well to get to. It's going to be a good one. It's a beautiful day. Cool, crisp morning, 40 degrees right now. Top out about 62 sunny degrees in Austin, Texas today. It's going to be a good one. Appreciate you being there. Early bird always gets the worm. Hope you can ride with us all morning long, all day long. We certainly make it easy for you. You can find us on 104.9 on the FM dial, 101.9 AM 1260. And you know we're always streaming on your smart speaker, on your Horn app, and at hornfm.com. Mr. Godbolt.
Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you so very much for the great job that you do. To all you National Guardsmen and Guardswomen out there that are headed to Washington, D.C., please be careful. Thank you for protecting us. You be safe. Hopefully your families back here are going to be safe. We'll take care of them while you head off to the nation's capital for the inauguration. But do be careful.
That is
correct. Very dangerous situation there, but that's what the National Guard does. That's what they've been doing for an awful long time. Whether it's hurricanes, it doesn't matter. They've always risen to the occasion, and once again, they'll do that for us next week. But do be careful, please.
No, well said, and no doubt. Yeah, I mean, MLK Day coming up on Monday, and then the inauguration on Wednesday of next week, with a lot going on in our nation's capital, and a lot going on in our nation, and a lot going on in the 40 acres. A lot to do as we have a busy, busy Friday. I'm glad it's Friday, TGIF, as we like to say, and we'll get you there and get you into the weekend, preview these big games, how big of an impact can Urban Meyer have quickly in Jacksonville, and all the news from the 40 acres. How are you this morning, Mr. Godbolt? Feeling good?
Doing
ready
well.
For the weekend?
Oh, yeah, ready to go.
Ready
to
go.
So, and yeah, starting today, got lots to do.
Yeah, man. Busy. All right, so let's get to your headlines, trending topics as we start each show to make sure you are fully aware of what's happening on the landscape. Let's get it. UBO Business Services brings them to you. We'll start with Texas football, of course, where new Texas head coach Steve Sarkisian busy assembling his first coaching staff. A lot of duties going on right now, hitting the ground running, including news yesterday that Alabama assistant Jeff Banks has joined the Texas staff. We broke that to you late in the show yesterday. He will be the Texas special teams coordinator and tight ends coach. 45 years old, spent the last three seasons at Alabama under Nick Saban, and then the previous four were in the same capacity at Texas A&M, considered one of the best special teams coaches in the country and been one of the top recruiters in the state of Texas over that time, and obviously familiar and has worked with Steve Sarkisian, as has former Crimson Tide offensive line coach Kyle Flood. He will also be on the Texas staff. And multiple reports this morning that current Alabama defensive coordinator Pete Golding has emerged as the leading candidate to be Sarkisian's first defensive coordinator as well, but that has not been made official. Chris Ash and others in the mix there will keep you posted on that front, but obviously a lot of Crimson Tide flavor on this first staff. Also yesterday, Steve Sarkisian introduced himself to the former players at Texas as he hosted a Zoom call with more than 200 lifetime Longhorns and gave them an overview of his vision for the program and certainly invited them to be part of it as it moves forward. One other Texas football note, word from inside Texas this morning, the junior running back Keontae Ingram has his name in the NCAA's transfer portal. It is listed there. Junior from Carthage started six games for the Longhorns last season. Obviously, Bijan Robinson, Roschon Johnson still in that running back room for the Horns. In the NFL, two of the league's six head coaching vacancies filled yesterday, starting with the blockbuster news from Jacksonville, where it is now official. Jaguars announced the hiring of Urban Meyer as their new head coach, one of the most successful college coaches over the last two decades. The 56-year-old now tasked with turning around one of the worst organizations in the NFL. Also in New York, the Jets have hired San Francisco 49ers defensive coordinator Robert Saleh to be their new head man. He replaces Adam Gase there with the Jets. College hoops, Irwin Center last night. Texas women improved to 3-1 in Big 12 play with a win over Kansas, 79-72. Charlie Collier and Celeste Taylor combined to score 51. Both the Texas men and women are in action this weekend. Fourth-ranked Texas men looking to bounce back from that loss to Texas Tech on Wednesday night. They'll host Kansas State tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Texas women are in Lubbock on Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock to face Texas Tech. In the NBA, Houston Rockets rallied in the fourth quarter to beat the Spurs last night in their first game since they traded James Harden to the Brooklyn Nets, 109-105. The final last night, Christian Wood led the way for the Rockets, 27 points, 15 rebounds.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
All right, Friday on the Horn. There's a lot there, Buck. What piques your interest the most as you listen to the trending topics of your day?
I'm trying to figure out if this is the right word. I mean, Coach Sark is pilfering Alabama staff. Is that what he's doing?
Pillaging.
Okay, he's
pillaging. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Nick Saban none too pleased about it. But
what can you do, my friend? What can you do? That's all a part of the game, right there. If you got friends on the staff and they're ready to go with you and they're ready to take that chance with you to come to Texas, Nick Saban can't stop it.
He cannot.
He can only wish him well, because he'll find guys, believe me. There'll be some people that like to go coach at Alabama.
Sure. Well, yeah, he'll reload. And, as we've said, if you watch that HBO documentary, Saban and Belichick and Saban, The Art of Coaching, in that, and Nick Saban, kind of, if you've seen that documentary, it's those two have been friends for 40 years, and obviously Bill Belichick has dominated pro football while Nick Saban's been dominating college football, and they just talk coaching, and really well done. But in it, they're just kind of talking back and forth, and he reveals one of the things that bothers him is when one of his coaches leaves and then takes his coaches with him, and he's got to rebuild his staff. Well, we're watching that happen right now here with Steve Sarkisian. But you're right, it's part of the business, part of the game. Let's start with the Jeff Banks news. I mean, that is a 45-year-old special teams coach. Got word from our friend Colonel Craig Flowers, who knows Jeff Banks very well, had worked with him down at Texas A&M in his work with his company called Sideline Leadership, where he works with coaches at all levels on their leadership. Colonel A report says he's great, much like with Terry. He was on the staff with Terry Joseph, Buck, at Texas A&M. Terry Joseph coming in on the defensive side to coach someplace in the secondary on the Texas defensive staff. But those two were together at Texas A&M under Kevin Sumlin. So those guys obviously both with Texas ties. And according to Colonel Flowers, Jeff Banks does have kids that live in College Station, Buck, that this was one of the reasons to come back to Texas, would be closer to his family. But obviously the other eyebrow raiser with Jeff Banks is that it's going to be $1 million. They're going to pay him seven figures to leave Alabama, come to Austin, and coach tight ends and special teams. And they'll give him the title of coordinator, special teams coordinator, but by all accounts, the first $1 million non-offensive or defensive coordinator in college football. As we talked about yesterday, the price tag will be big as they assemble this coaching staff.
Money. At Texas?
Money.
That's not a problem.
Well,
that's never going to be a problem, but you're going to find out there'll probably be about four or five guys like that on this staff before it's all said and done. Obviously, the offensive coordinator and the offensive line coach, that dude, Flood, is going to break the bank because he's very important. The defensive coordinator will be the same, and there'll probably be another one somewhere along the line, and maybe even the recruiting coordinator if he gets the guy. I mean, if that's what's going to happen, maybe even the defensive the recruiting coordinator may find the first guy to make that kind of money at Texas, because that's going to be huge. Plus, they've already, with Jeff Banks, they've got another Texas tie-in when it comes to recruiting. But this is I'm not saying it's an all-star group, but it's getting damn close to it.
Yeah.
And to find out and see who this defensive coordinator is going to be, as I said, I think Sark is going to take his time with the defensive coordinator and make sure, because he knows how important that hire will be, because he's got his guys for offense. He knows what he wants to do with offense. I don't think he's made a decision on a wide receiver coach yet, but the defensive coordinator will be huge, because Sark is going to spend so much time with the offense. He's going to have to lay his trust on somebody that is going to be the defensive coordinator. But these are really good hires. The guy from Notre Dame is a good hire. If that's true and he's coming, that's awesome. I watched him for 3 years and thought he did really, really well. The 3 years he was at Notre Dame, struggled a little bit this year because just didn't have great, great players. And I did well enough. I mean, they played in the Final Four, did they not?
So, they did.
Yeah, I mean, so that he's a really good coach. And this is good. And the defense and the tight end coach is going to work so closely with the offensive. They know each other. So these tight ends are going to be like tackles. And he's got a couple of stud tight ends that are here that are going to understand what really blocking is all about, because that's what they do at Alabama. They don't catch a lot of passes, but they know how to block. They're extra tackles and extra guards. So they're a big part of the run game.
Certainly, for Steve Sarkisian. And obviously last year, you know, Jay Boulware was brought in last year under this very same capacity, and Texas is having to buy that contract out. And I liked, I know you knew Jay, and Jay, I think, is a good football coach. Just, you know, Sark's
going to
bring.
It was chancy for him to do that.
Yeah, it certainly was.
To leave Lincoln Riley's staff and
sure.
to come here for 1 year, that's a part of the business too, man. And it's hard to do that, and that, you know, your family looks at you and says, "Dad, we got to move again."
Yeah.
Well, that's a part of it. He's got a young daughter and you know, a great wife, and he had it going on. He's got all kinds of championship rings from Oklahoma, but Jay graduated from Texas. He wanted to be back and wanted to make Texas get back to where they should be, and it just didn't work out. And I feel terrible because he's a really, really good man.
Yeah, he is, and that's, you know, a lot of good men, good coaches are changing hands here, and that's the way, as you say, it's part of the business. And you know, Steve Sarkisian is going to surround himself with his guys where he can, and Jeff Banks
right.
would be one of them. And you know, he'll be a good asset. I mean, he can coach tight ends at a very high level, as you said, but also recruiting is maybe his biggest focus, having been at Texas A&M, and then when he got to Alabama for three seasons, was the chief recruiter in Texas for Nick Saban, and they've obviously done a very, very good job recruiting the Lone Star State. So he comes with a lot of ties there to Texas, as does Terry Joseph, as we said, who's going to coach on the corners. Now, to your point about the wide receivers, I do think the wide receiver position is filled. I think it's going to be Andre Coleman. You know, when you look at the offensive staff, it's pretty much set at this point. You know, you only get five coaches. You get 10 total coaches, so five on each side. You know, Kyle Flood's going to coach the offensive line. Jeff Banks, tight ends and special teams. A.J. Milwee, who's coming in from Alabama, where he's an analyst. He'll be the quarterback's coach, running back Stan Drayton, and receivers, I believe, Andre Coleman. You know, we had who was the receivers coach a year ago under Tom Herman. We had Brian Davis from the Statesman earlier this week, who said, you know, Sark told him personally on Sunday in Miami that yes, indeed, Andre Coleman would be back on the staff and working with the receivers. So we'll see if that is made official on defense. As we say, the latest is that Pete Golding, also at Alabama, is the leading contender to be the defensive coordinator. And now word from our friend Chip Brown over at Horns 24/7 is that, you know, Steve Sarkisian kind of sensitive to Nick Saban on this thing, that if Nick Saban can land the defense coordinator he wants to replace Golding, Golding will come. If not, I don't know, they may go a different direction. Now, keep in mind with Pete Golding, to get him out about his Alabama is where you go back to the money at Texas. You never say that it's not about the money, and they don't have the money. If they do indeed hire Pete Golding, who was the architect of that Alabama defense the last few years, it's a $1.8 million buyout of his deal at Alabama. Also, they've got
right.
They're on the hook for the Chris Ash next 2 years here at Texas if he indeed is going to move on. So all that in play. But on defense, you know, Bo Davis is going to be the defensive line coach. Blake Gideon and Terry Joseph are in as coaches in the secondary, and then the rest of the defensive staff will be finalized. But Pete Golding, the name to watch right now. You know, obviously, and you know, Golding has Texas ties too. You know where he was before he got to Alabama. Nick Saban hired him from UTSA, from UT San Antonio.
Wow.
Yeah. Young guy waking his way, and you know, Nick Saban plucked him from the Roadrunners to come to be on his to coach defense for him at Alabama. But we know at Alabama, Nick Saban is ostensibly the defensive coordinator, right? He's in
right.
charge of the D. And
you're just a guy who gets yelled at a lot.
Yeah. So, but again, it's another guy familiar with Steve Sarkisian, Pete Golding, his name. And you know, as we said from the jump, young guys, some guys he's familiar with. So that would, you know, let's just say Pete Golding takes the gig and they're able to work out the money side of that. You're talking about three members of the Alabama staff, or actually four, in Kyle mm-hmm. Flood, Jeff Banks, A.J. Milwee, and Pete Golding. Two members of the current staff would stay, and then, you know, three, four members from outside coming in to form this staff. And then we heard Steve Sarkisian on Tuesday at his introductory news conference call it a jigsaw puzzle that you're trying to put together. Every piece has to fit. Chemistry has to fit. You run a lot of coaching staffs, Buck, and it is important. These are people you're going to spend a lot of time with coming up over the next, hopefully, for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, and Sark will have everything so well organized, you know what I mean, because of his ties with Pete Carroll, Nick Saban. Meetings will be incredibly organized. I mean, the message will be the same from everybody to the players. There won't be different messages going out. I don't think there'll be any infighting. I think this is really kind of a fun job for Sark. I mean, he understands that he's got to win, and it's results-driven business. But to put together your own staff again and have some of the guys that have won national championships and been in national championship games with you, and this is your job now, that's got to be he's got to be so excited. You know, I mean, it's got to be hard to sleep for this dude knowing what he has to do the next day. And, you know, he's got to get all these ties with the Texas coaches and high school coaches and still meet so many different people at Texas that matter. I mean, he's made phone calls, met the governor, but he's got so many other phone calls that he wants to make sure that everybody understands that they matter. You know, when he was talking about the donors, I mean, he's going to be on the phone with them. That phone line is going to be lit up for days for this guy. And, you know, he'll let his guys go out there and do the recruiting, but when he can get on the road, he'll jump on the road. But once he gets these guys organized to go recruiting, this spring, this thing will jump in a hurry where you got to come back and start football again. So he's got a lot of work to do.
Absolutely, and he's hitting the ground running. I mentioned he had the Zoom call with all the former players yesterday, which is a smart move, and that's pretty cool. You know, talking about new technologies in 2020, you know, that Zoom has become such a popular thing. Now you can have a Zoom call with 200 lettermen at one time. It take you about, you know, 45 minutes, and you knock that out, and you invite all those guys to become be part of it when they can, and obviously protocols in place. They can't come to practice at this point, but I think that's a smart move and another place where technology, probably a year ago, you wouldn't have done that, right? You wouldn't have done a Zoom call with 200 former Longhorns, and we're going to try to talk to one of those former Longhorns who was on that Zoom call here this morning, so we'll keep your ear to the rail on that as we get you going. But what the message was from Coach Sark, and obviously, you know, wanting them to be a part of this, and as we say, get the BBs into the box. So staying busy. Coach Sark also did some national radio interviews yesterday. We'll hear some highlights from that as he was on with Colin Cowherd, and I believe he did the Scott Van Pelt Sports Center thing the night before, doing the car wash deal, getting the message out. So we'll hear some sound from that as we get you going. But Steve Sarkisian, very, very busy as the Longhorns build this staff and move forward. Also, Buck, the divisional playoff weekend on tap. You know, I was thinking about this because I have always said, well, we've done this show for 20 years or so. This coming weekend, tomorrow and Sunday, my favorite weekend of the NFL year, right? Because you get you get the top eight teams, you get four games over 2 days. I don't know, though. I mean, after coming off the super wild card weekend from a week ago, I don't know. We'll see. That was pretty good last week with three games each day. But this has, for a long time, Buck, been my favorite weekend, even more than Championship Sunday. I know, you know, AFC and NFC Championship next weekend is huge. The trip to the Super Bowl is on the line. I just like the idea of having 2 days of football starting tomorrow with two games each day. My favorite, and here we go. You ready for some football this weekend?
Well, I am. I want to see Green Bay. It seems like a while since we've seen Kansas City even play a football game. So I'm looking forward to Baker Moneymaker playing Kansas City and seeing if he can hold the ball away from those guys and not let Pat Mahomes on the field. And I'm looking forward to seeing if Aaron Rodgers can see this thing through and stay mad the entire football season and get himself in a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm interested in. I'm really excited about those two games. We've kind of seen the other couple teams play. We've watched them over the last couple of weeks, but the other two, it seems like a month since they played.
Yeah,
I've been on like cruise control.
Yeah, wild card weekend, you don't see the top seeds. And so Kansas City and Green Bay, the favorites into the Super Bowl potentially, are there. And you know, when you mentioned Kansas City playing the Browns, I mean, that's the reason you say you haven't seen it in a while. I mean, the Chiefs are a 10-point favorite in that game. That's the first game Sunday afternoon about 3 o'clock. At Arrowhead Stadium, temperatures in the 40s, it looks like there. Sunshine, weather won't be a factor. But you have this Cleveland team that's going to come in kind of blazing after their, you know, 48-point scoring against Pittsburgh, their first playoff win in a long, long time, quarter century. And Kansas City, you know, yes, they're 14-2, but it does feel like, how about this number, Buck? In their last eight games, the Chiefs have not covered the Vegas line, whether that matters or not. They're 0-7-1 against the Vegas line their last eight. You know, they kind of struggled down the stretch with teams like Atlanta, who they beat 17-14. And then you wonder, did they lose focus, Buck? Did they lose, or is it they're just not as good a team it was a year ago, even though they still have Pat Mahomes? I don't know. I think the latter is probably, you know, the previous is probably true, that they, I don't know, did you think they got a little bored with the season? I don't know, because they were still winning games, and that's what it's about. They won 14, they're the one seed, but not the dominant performances. Meanwhile, you have Cleveland coming in with Baker Mayfield, this upstart. You know they're coming in confident, but it is Andy Reid off a bye. Where do you lean on that? That's a heavy number. That's 10 points on the road in Kansas City.
Yeah, it doesn't matter to them what they win by. You know, it just matters to you and I.
Yeah.
Because we get busted on these things. But for Kansas City, just, you know, Pat Mahomes is, what are those numbers, 23-1 over the last year or so? I mean, he doesn't lose. He very seldom loses games. So no matter what the point spread is, that guy doesn't lose any football games. So I'd expect him to come out and beat Cleveland, whether it's by, you know, 7, 17, 27, 3. They win the games. And, you know, they haven't played competitively for a while. I would expect you get Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid this kind of time off. Wow. I don't feel good for Cleveland. But if Cleveland can keep the ball, I mean, if those guys can run the ball,
right,
keep it away from Kansas City, because what Kansas City doesn't play well, and they didn't do at the end of the season, is their defense didn't get good like it did last year. They just stayed kind of average. And if they stay kind of average, then they were in trouble with this run game with Cleveland. But winning the football game, I expect Kansas City to win it, because they're going to have some trick plays, some weird plays. I know Cleveland's trying and trying to think of them all, but most of the times we've never seen the plays that actually until they happen with Kansas City, and we go, wow, I've never seen that before.
Yeah.
I think those are the ones that'll get Cleveland. You know, eventually they'll get 14 to 17 points, Kansas City, off of plays that we have never seen.
From Andy
Reid. And they have never seen.
Yeah, with a week to be creative, an extra week.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Now, I look, some factors in that game that I think are huge. The health of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the running back out of LSU. Mm-hmm. He's got a high ankle sprain. He hadn't practiced this week, you know, and I think he's pivotal to what they do to stay balanced. I know they have Le'Veon Bell, and they've got other backs. I just think Helaire.
Yeah, what did they do with Le'Veon Bell? That's the deal. You know, they worked him in there slowly but surely. He started to really look kind of good, some things. You know they've got him worked in on a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because they need to stay balanced. I mean, obviously, one of the things that has changed this year with Pat Mahomes is they're playing those, you know, safeties deep and not giving up any big plays. They want to keep everything in front of them with Tyreek Hill and kind of make them methodically move down the field. But when they had Helaire healthy, he just brought that thunder in the run game, and they would just pound you and run the ball, which then would eventually bring those safeties up to help in the run game, which would create the big explosive plays that they like. Because when you say they're bored, you know they like to hit the big strike. You know they love to hit the big play. And Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins and Travis Kelce, you know, they like to get the ball down the field. Mahomes, though, will take the dink and dunk stuff. He's gotten better at that. But you know they'd prefer to hit you quick.
Now, is Sammy Watkins healthy? Is he going to be playing? That's a big deal. He's been out.
Sammy Watkins also didn't practice yesterday. He's got a calf injury. So whether, you know, we'll get an official injury report today. Friday is the final official injury report. And then, of course, game day, you get.
But he's got Kelce. He's got Kelce to lean on, too.
Yeah. What makes them devastating was when they are healthy, and you had Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and then you got Watkins and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, and it's like, you got all number ones here. Who do I cover? Who do I focus on? That makes it really, really tough, especially coming off a bye. But, you know, Cleveland, not like Cleveland lacks for weapons. They do have their head coach back in Kevin Stefanski. They do have Jarvis Landry at receiver and Austin Hooper at tight end. They do have I think it's the best combination of running backs in the NFL with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, and they can come downhill behind that big offensive line. So I think the 10 might be a little heavy in that game, but either way, I remember last year in the playoffs we saw the Chiefs fall behind every game and rally to win them, including down 24 to Houston. They fell behind to Tennessee in the championship game a year ago and came back to win it. And in the Super Bowl, we're down double digits in the second half and came back to win the Super Bowl. So,
and also won all those games by double digits, right?
Yeah, down double and won by double. And so that 10-point line, who knows? It's the Chiefs. So here they come.
Well, I'm going to need the help of the show of the people today, because last week I was 1-5.
Oh.
I can't do it on my own anymore, okay? I can't give you any help because I don't want to give you any help and miss a payment in the new year. You know what I'm saying? So I need the show with the people. I need some concrete evidence about these games, why I should take their teams today. I'm not even going to try because I suck at
you
this.
You suck.
So, yeah. I suck.
Well,
terrible.
So help out the Buck. Help us out.
Please.
We need your help. I mean, we got the Rams.
I'll go with it.
First
I'm
game is
go with it.
Rams and Packers tomorrow afternoon.
Okay.
Baltimore-Buffalo is a high-scoring, pretty dynamic game with maybe in the snow on Saturday night in Buffalo with Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. Sunday, Cleveland-Kansas City. Sunday night, Tampa Bay-New Orleans. Give us your lock. Give us your lock and your upset. How about we do that? Lock and upset, Buck.
Yes.
One that is just lock it in, load it, and then
I need a lock.
And an upset. Give us an upset.
Yes.
Which road team's going to get on the road and get a win? Is it Baltimore and Buffalo? That one, I don't even know how much of an upset that would be. Could the Rams stun the Packers, Cleveland in Kansas City, and Tampa Bay at New Orleans? So we'll take those from you on the Show of the People, as Bucky said. The Specs text line, 512-337-3776. We'll also talk more Steve Sarkisian, hear from Steve Sarkisian this morning on some national radio interviews he did yesterday. Busy guy, this Sark. We also have a Craig Way report, your B&E fact of the day on what's going to be a beautiful Friday in the ATX.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Friday on the Horn, B&E with you, taking your locks and your upsets. Divisional playoff weekend. Oh, man, they're rolling in now, Buck. We've got these. I'll be betting the Chiefs first half line, -6. Follow me, Buck. Follow me.
Okay.
This one, here we go. We're getting deep now. This says, Buck, do a 6-point teaser, three teams. Cleveland to 13, Packers to 1, Tampa to 9. Run with it.
Run with it, huh?
Yeah, man. They're bringing them in. They're bringing them. Hey, good luck this weekend, tomorrow, to the Westlake Chaparrals, the Cedar Park Timberwolves, State 5A and or 6A championship games. A couple of local teams looking to finish the deal. That's pretty awesome for Coach Todd Dodge facing his son Riley in the Dodge Bowl. More importantly, the players will square off with Westlake, led by Cade Klubnik, against Southlake Carroll and Quinn Ewers. That'll be a tremendous game this weekend. Cedar Park looking for another state title for Coach Carl Absack as well. Good luck to those young men and their quest for a state title. That's part of the busy weekend as well, Buck. And speaking of busy, Steve Sarkisian busy assembling his staff and doing all kinds of tasks. Coming up about 10 after 7, we're going to talk to our great friend and your former player, Dan Neal, Buck, the Longhorn legend and NFL Super Bowl champion. Dan was a part of that Zoom call yesterday with Steve Sarkisian, who introduced himself to the Letterman at Texas, as many as that could join. So we'll talk to Dan about what he heard and his early impressions of the new head man in charge of Longhorn football, Steve Sarkisian. So Dan Neal joins the show about 7:10. We need your locks. We need your upsets. And I saw this, Buck. I believe, and people will correct, this is the last matchup between Baker Mayfield and Patrick Mahomes in a football game. Am I right about this? October 22nd, 2016. They may have played subsequent to that, but I have the stats from that game when they met in Lubbock. Final score was Oklahoma 66, Texas Tech 59.
Oh, my goodness.
Baker Mayfield threw for 545 yards and 7 touchdowns in that game. Joe Mixon, remember Joe Mixon, plays for the Bengals now? He had 377 yards from scrimmage and scored 5 times. Meanwhile, Patrick Mahomes, in a losing effort, put up 59 points and threw for 734 yards and 5 touchdowns. He also ran for 85 yards and scored 2 touchdowns. And Patrick Mahomes.
That was the game where he asked Cliff Kingsbury, "Hey, can you give me a little help?"
Yeah. That's right.
Can you give me a little help on defense, please?
I remember watching that game and thinking the same thing. "Hey, Cliff, defense,
please."
The poor guy, I mean, he's trying his best here to get you guys. I mean, the guy accounted for 820 total yards and 7 touchdowns.
I remember that game when he was running all over the place.
Yes.
Throwing the ball sidearm, falling down, throwing long bombs. And just he would go over to the sideline to the coach and just look at him like, "I just don't know what else I can do, coach."
Yeah, he'd come off the field, look right at the defensive coordinator and be like, "Okay, now, we got the lead. Help a brother out over here. Come on, man."
59 points.
Yeah, and Oklahoma won that game by 7, 66-59, final score. And there you go. So they'll play again and meet again tomorrow, actually Sunday afternoon in Kansas City as members of the Browns and the Chiefs. That's a lot of fun there. Old Big 12 shootout. It is funny how the Big 12, Buck, this year in particular came back and was more of a defensive league, right? I mean, Oklahoma was better on defense. Iowa State built on running and defense. Texas's defense pretty salty, you know, playing a lot of 23-20 games. And then over in the SEC, they become the Big 12. I mean, you got, it was Alabama and Florida playing the 52-46 SEC championship game. Shootouts galore. You know, Alabama played Ole Miss, and that game ended up, you know, 50-something to 40-something. SEC kind of became the Big 12 this weekend. Remember, they used to look down on the Big 12 and say, "Oh, that's not football. There's no defense being played." But now they're dealing with the same thing. It's the way of college football, and it's why the Longhorns have hired Steve Sarkisian to bring their offense to a different level and bring the program to a different level.
Yeah, just get a couple stops on defense and let's go.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
You know, key stops, and don't lose a game on defense by having somebody drive down the field on you a couple times a year. Make those stops, make those plays, and you know, there's the mental toughness that hopefully this defense and defensive coordinator will bring, where You know what I mean? If you got the length of the field to go, you're going to have a rough time with it, and your team's going to come out ahead. That's the mental toughness that I think the defensive coordinator will bring. So should be fun, man. It really should. This should be an interesting year. But once again, as I said yesterday, they need so badly to have a spring ball. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Spring. They need to spring badly, especially when you got a new staff like this.
Yeah, to bring everybody. I mean, obviously, Tom Herman would have liked to have spring last year, but that was the case for most everybody around college football in 2020. Another right. lock and upset pick on our Specs text line, Buck, that says, Buck, tease the points, drop the Packers to one. And they just need to win the game.
That's the second one I heard.
And then Buffalo, Baltimore, drop it to over 44. And he said it's 2020 or 2021 now, but 2020, so why not go Browns on the money line? There you go. Browns on the money line. You'll win outright. Screw the points. Just win the game. You play to win the game.
I don't know what the money line is there. I have to really make money in order to go against Pat Mahomes. I mean, you're going to go into the money line on that, you got to be damn near doubling up to do that, E, right?
Yeah, I would think. I mean, right now the line is 10. The over-under is 57. See if I can find a money line on this this Chiefs-Browns game. I'll get that for you here coming up. I'll also say this. Can we hear from Steve Sarkisian? So the other thing Steve Sarkisian is doing, in addition to assembling a staff, hiring Jeff Banks to coach special teams and tight ends yesterday, looks like Pete Golding, the defense coordinator at Alabama, may be emerging as the lead contender to be the new defensive coordinator at Texas. Kyle Flood to coach the offensive line. But here's Steve Sarkisian. He's also doing the rounds. He was on SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt the other night. He was on Fox TV yesterday with Colin Cowherd. And here's an interesting question, and this is something I think the answer is pretty revealing for Coach Sark. He was asked by Colin Cowherd if he feels pressure. Cowherd pointed out that Tom Herman went 7-3 this year. He's 4-0 in bowl games, finished in the top 20. Wasn't like it was a complete failure at Texas, but the pressure is to be greater. Steve Sarkisian was asked if he feels that pressure, that you got to win quickly.
Well, I don't know if I feel pressure. You know, I think, in my opinion, it's – You when you take a Texas job, when you take an Alabama, when you take an Ohio State, you take a USC, you have to recognize what the job is. And if you don't, then all of a sudden, when things aren't going the way you all want them to go, then you feel the pressure. The reality of it is, when you take this job, our job is to win championships. Our job is to year in and year out be in the conversation of the college football playoff. And I can't have my head in the sand and not recognize that. Now, we've got a lot of work to do. There's a lot that goes into this. There's a lot when you start talking about the development of our players on and off the field. But I don't necessarily feel the pressure because I recognize what the job is.
That's interesting because that's something we talked about during the process, right, with the coaching search, and or not much of a search, but the conversation. Because some people will say, Buck, that the expectations at Texas are too high. You hear that a lot. You know, Texas fans want too much. And as all I've always said, and I know you've coached in the program, they just expect to be coached very well and play to a championship level. And that's, I think, for what they pay and spend into it, that's not a crazy request. I mean, that's not an expectation that's too high in my mind. It's about playing really high quality football, being coached very well, and getting the most bang for your buck is the way I would put it. And what Stark just said is what I know when Mac Brown got here, he understood pretty quickly that that's the expectation. They expect you to win every game. Now you're not going to win every game, but that's the expectation. And right. You know, you got to coach to that and embrace the expectation and use it as something you just understand. And that's why you take a blue blood program job. Texas has not played to a blue blood status. We know that. But that's still going to be what is expected when you're shelling out the dough and investing in the program the way Texas does.
Yeah, it's not the pressure is for Coach Sark is that he wants to win. You know what I mean? He wants to be good. He wants, when he talks about we're here to try to accomplish greatness, we're here to win championships. So he wants to win. It's not like the pressure, he understands what the pressure is. And when you ask that question of him, that's one of those hard ones. As Coach Royal said, real pressure is when you're making $20,000 a year and you got a family. When you're making $6 and $7 million, he said, that ain't pressure.
Yeah.
The pressure is the guy who's making $20-25 and has got a family. That's pressure. Yeah. So, you know, he'll do all right. He'll stay. That kind of pressure of this job, I don't think is going to get it to him. You know, we've got, you know, people that think, well, that pressure is going to get to him. We'll see him down on 6th Street laying in the gutter somewhere. That's that silliness. That guy is – he's ready to go, and he's building a staff around him, and I think the pressure will be if they don't develop the players. And I just can't imagine this group right here, when you're bringing that many guys from Alabama, when you're assembling a group that's that can coach, that have been to places like Notre Dame. I just can't see you. You can worry about pressure, but you've been to places that have pressure. You don't think it's pressure at Alabama or Notre Dame, where some of these guys are coming from.
Yep.
That's been he's used to pressure. So
yeah, and the staff
this will be exciting. Yeah,
but you know you got to change the culture, and part of that is getting the BBs back in the box, as we say. Coming up top of the hour in our coach's corner, just after 7:10 or so, we'll talk to Dan Neal, the lifetime Longhorn, who was a part of that Letterman Zoom call yesterday with the new head coach. We'll get his first impressions and what was the tone? Because I know, you know, much like fans are jonesing for better and success, I know the former players want to see a better product on the football field and a team that they can get back behind. So we'll talk to Dan about what he heard yesterday from the new head coach. We'll also get your B&E fact of the day, some other interesting news and nuggets headed into the weekend. But first, it's the voice of the Longhorns, Craig Way.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Oh, feeling good on a Friday. Hopefully you are as well. It's a Bud Light Football Friday and one of the better football weekends of the year if you're an NFL fan, with the divisional playoffs. Top eight teams left, four of them on each conference. Winners will meet to go to the Super Bowl next weekend. So pretty high-level football, pretty high-level coaching, quarterback play at a premium this weekend. So we'll take your thoughts. It says Michael. I'm calling you Michael on the text line, Bucky.
Mm-hmm.
Don't listen to the betting advice from these jabronis. You are the expert. You are the pro.
No,
we have come to rely on your picks.
No. No, I was 1-for-5, and it wasn't even close. It was like, no, I'm not the pro.
It says, for example, I've been killing it yearly by always going against your picks. Make your picks.
No, I can't. It's just horrible. Yeah, it was a horrible – once again, it was one of those horrible bowl years, and this so far the NFL, it's just been not even close. And as I said last week, thank goodness there was no time left on the clock when Jimmy Graham caught that touchdown pass,
the one-handed catch from Mitch
yes
Trubisky,
and he ran out of the stadium. I was like, do they have to come back and kick the extra point?
You know, if they did, it would hurt some people on the betting line for sure. Especially if they had gone for two, which
oh my goodness.
Yeah. But yeah, don't mess with Vegas, you know. And we say that, especially this weekend, right? In the NFL, you know, there are what, 16 games a week or 17? Some weeks, if they're not buys, you got between 14 and 17 games per weekend. And even those are, I mean, you can find a couple that you like, but they're only four games, and these are the best teams. And Vegas is really good at the lines, and you know the computers and the algorithms they use. They're pretty good. They know what they're doing.
Young Brad Kellner then tells me about the first week of
the wild card weekend.
You know, wild card weekend, and I'm like, what are you keeping that information to yourself?
Yeah,
I said, get on the line. I'm making moves here, but you don't call me and tell me about, hey, wild card. You know, wild card weekend. Take the dogs. Take the points. And I'm like, he lays it all down. He says, I've looked this up. I said, well, that's good. Would you keep it in your library somewhere? For
yes.
Yourself and your buddies?
Well, I mean, it's easy to find wild card weekend.
I know.
Last 16 games now, wild card weekend, and including super wild card weekend, the underdogs against the line, 14-2. Not winning and losing the game, but
Wow. Covering
the number. You'd be doing well if you had just taken the dogs.
Yes.
Well, I gave you the stat during the year at the end of the regular season. If you added it all up, if you just took the underdogs all season long and bet every game, you would have won about 60% of the games. You would have come out on top. 65%.
In the world of gambling in Vegas, that's huge.
Yeah.
Huge profit.
Yeah, no question. I mean, if you're you know, 55, 56% as a gambler, you're doing pretty good because it is difficult. It's a challenge, right? And that's how they build all those big-ass sports books and casinos.
Are you saying that I can't make it at 12%? Well, 12 to 14% won't do it?
Now, look, if you're playing for recreational purposes only and you're just you want some skin in the game and have some fun with the games this weekend, that's fine. But if you're going in and you're going to make a bet on all four games and you're expecting to win, come on. You know, pick one. Pick one game you really like and run with it.
Recreational bettors disappeared years ago now.
Yeah, now they're
There's
all
not
in.
Much recreation going on.
Oh, man. That's good stuff. So we'll continue to drill down on those games. And, boy, a lot of fun. I found the Kansas City money line. Somebody wanted to know what the Browns were. It says here money line is plus 384 plus 384 if you just take the Browns.
To get 384?
Yeah. Well, yeah, they got the Browns have to win the game. And we know that the Chiefs are, 23-2 in their last 25 games. They usually win. They haven't covered a line in 8 games. They're 0-7-1 their last 8 games against the Vegas number because they make the line pretty big, and KC's kind of been on cruise control.
384 is a huge number.
You know what? Last Dan Neal about that, too, coming up. When we talked to Dan about the Zoom call with Sark yesterday and his impressions of the new head coach at Texas, you know, Dan was on a team that won a Super Bowl and went back-to-back. And, you know, if you remember, in Denver, they won the Super Bowl his rookie year, and then the second year they were kind of like the Chiefs, just the heavy favorite. John Elway, they're going to win this whole thing, and they were really, really a good team. We'll talk to – I think they had the same record, 14-2. We'll ask Dan how tough that is, and can you get a little complacent when you're winning the games, that you're just not blowing people out and people are still asking questions. That's how Dan's team was. What was that, 1998? The final year of John Elway in Denver. We'll ask Dan about that as well, because he can certainly shed some light and insight on that conversation. Hey, we got our B&E fact of the day coming up. We'll make our picks on these games as well. Hey, Buck, I don't know if you knew this. You know, this is a fact. Do you know that pizza, which now, as you said yesterday, you bailed on Papa John's. You finally bailed on Papa John's. Pizza is the most popular takeout delivery food in the world. Popular takeout delivery this is according to a new study. But it's not the number one most popular delivery food in the United States. Do you know what that might be? Did you have a guess on that?
Maybe wings.
No, Chinese food.
Oh, very interesting. I picked that up yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, and number one in the United States last year, Chinese food, more than pizza. That surprised me. I would have thought pizza would have been hands down, blow it away. Because what do? You order pizza, but you ordered Chinese yesterday.
I did. I have it at my house. Tastes nice. Just like a bagel.
Still no taste for the buck.
No taste, no.
God.
It's all right.
Has the doctor said what the is there any way to know?
No, I mean, no, it's just that as I've known people now that have had COVID that said didn't appear for 2 months. So I mean I'm on like 18 days. It's just I'm eating good stuff. I just can't taste it, and it's good to eat good food that you don't like, that you generally wouldn't eat, because if I taste it, I'd go, yuck, I'd never eat it again. I can actually eat squash right now and okra and not even taste it.
That's what you should be eating then, all healthy foods. It'd be great coming out the other side.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's get to your actual B&E fact of the day.
B&E Fact of the Day brought to you by Dr. S. Brent Brotzman, an orthopedic surgeon providing personalized, empathetic, and cutting-edge care to all athletes from the recreational to the elite. BrotzmanSportsMedicine.com.
All right, history will be made on Sunday night when Tom Brady faces Drew Brees. Those two have started a combined 585 regular season games in their careers. Sunday will feature the first playoff game in which both opposing quarterbacks have combined for 500 regular season starts. Who had the previous record before this? Which matchup was the most? We'll get you details on that. But 1-585, I can tell you that. That will be your B&E Fact of the Day. Coming next.